Hello to all our listeners and viewers. Welcome back to the Petrimin Podcast. I am Ruth Shannon, your host, and I'm very excited to once again be here to discuss about Hydro Mover from concepts to currents. Last week, we were here with Jan Vigo from Marine EV, Incent Green Tech, and we learned so much about Singapore's very first and recently launched Hydro Mover, the very first electric vessel. Today, we are very pleased to have with us two more special guests who played a big part in this project, the builders and designers of this revolutionary vessel. Let's welcome Mr. Yeo Ying Da, Director at Lita Ocean, and Mr. Prabhjot Chopra, Vice President Technology at SeaTech Solutions. Hello, Mr. Yeo and Mr. Prabhjot. Thank you so much for being here today and for being a part of the Petrimin Podcast. This is our very first series, by the way. Our third and fourth episodes, we've got Hydro Mover from Concepts to Currents. Once again, thank you so much for being here. Last week, we had a quick episode with Jan Vigo. He was sharing us a lot of great insights about the Hydro Mover itself. And we are here today to ask you more questions. Hopefully, we get more juicy answers from the both of you. and definitely to unravel more understandings about the Hydro Mover itself. Are we ready?
Yes. Good to go.
Yes. All right. Okay. Now, before we get into the Hydro Mover, I'm sure both of you have been experts in this industry for a while now. Have you both had previous collaborations before, worked on previous projects, and how did that go?
Yep. I think Hydro Mover is our second project together with Lita Ocean on this. The first one being MPS, Next Generation Hydrographic Vessel, which was successfully delivered, a very complex boat, I would say, and a very advanced boat, I think something very advanced that an aluminium builder here in Singapore has built. Maybe, YD, you want to say something?
Yes, so the Hydro Mover being the second project that we are collaborating with SeaTech Solutions. The first project, yes, like what Prabhjot has mentioned, was very challenging. It was a 35-meter dual-fuel LNG vessel, which is also more environmentally friendly compared to traditional diesel-driven vessels. So that itself, a vessel that is using an alternative fuel, presented a lot of challenges in the design and the construction process. And yeah, we were very glad to have the opportunity to work together with SeaTech Solutions again on these electric craft. And we are very excited about the whole process.
Amazing. I like to hear that there's a lot of challenges because that means there's a lot for us to talk about. Yeah? More juicy answers. Yes, I like that. Now, I'm hoping there were a lot of challenges with Hydro Mover as well. But from my understanding, Hydro Mover was actually built and launched in a very short span of time. Was that the same for the first project?
The first project, I would say, in terms of being a hybrid alternative fuel vessel, was actually, I would say, even more challenging to be able to pack an LNG system, including its engines, its storage tanks and everything, into a compact vessel was actually even more challenging.
Okay.
But maybe I'm putting it wrongly. I would say challenging in a different way, in a different manner.
Okay.
Yeah, but definitely from the experience of this project, we also got to see what SeaTech Solutions, you know, what they're capable of.
Right.
And so going into the Hydro Mover, we were quite confident that the project would be a success.
Okay.
And yeah, that has proven to be the case. So
it's already built a good chemistry, I suggest.
we are still building the chemistry, I would say. I think chemistry needs to be built upon and worked upon. It's not a one-time thing. But I think challenging, I mean, for the next generation hydrographic vessel, the biggest challenge was really, it took place right at the start of COVID.
Right.
And the yard had, we had both, not only the yard, even we had challenges given circuit breakers in install and all that. So it was a challenging project given the vessel itself, but COVID just made it a whole lot more challenging from a lot of different aspects. Coming down to the Hydro Mover, yes, I think being one of the three consortiums that were awarded the MPA grant to develop and build a prototype, I think we all sat down together and said, we want to be the first to get it out of the water. And that needed every stakeholder to participate fully inside.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, great. Firstly, congratulations on the hydrographic vessel. I would love to have another episode, maybe another time. But let's get to the hydro mover then, okay? Now, I think we shared a little bit more on the hydrographic vessel, but right now, we're talking about the hydro mover. How was that collaborative effort between Lita Ocean and SeaTech Solutions? And maybe how is it different from the very first project that you worked together with?
So the NGHV was a steel hull. This one was aluminium. This is fully electric. Lita Ocean are expert builders when it comes to aluminium. They gave us a lot of guidance along the way. They have the practical knowledge. We are, at the end of the day, we sit behind our computers in the office. So sometimes our engineers get blinded on what is practical while you are constructing. So I think we got a lot of feedback from Lita Ocean because they have great experience in this, and that helped us, of course, you know. Secondly, this is a fully electric vessel, so there's no fuel on board at all.
Yeah.
It runs 100% on electricity, so it was very interesting. And what made it even more interesting, this is the first vessel to use swappable batteries. Now, this concept, when we were applying for this grant and we were racking our brains, we thought about the concept of cylinder gas in Singapore, where the cylinder, you know, I don't know, are you using pipe gas or are you using cylinder still?
Cylinder.
So basically, when the cylinder is about to run out, it needs to be refilled. You call the guy, he comes in.
Yeah.
He puts in a new one, takes the old one back.
Right.
So we base it really upon this concept to come up with this swappable battery concept. And we then had to look for a battery maker who would then, I would say, support our thoughts or ideas.
Yeah.
Because it was, nobody had thought about it, I would say. And after that, we found Shift, who are on board this project together with us. And then, of course, we have other challenges coming in where, what happens when you're swapping it in rain? What happens when the vessel is moving? And then we had to really... And there's no historical or examples that you can draw upon. So you really need to use a blank piece of paper, I would say, and think about the pros and cons of the solutions that you provide forward. And then after that, tweak it a bit to come to a solution. So it was a very interesting project. I think we are very happy to see the end results.
This is very interesting. Now, I think when you're going deeper into it, I can really put a lot of pictures and I can understand the hydro mover a little bit better. And maybe the next question is for you, Mr. Yeo. Now, he was talking about swappable batteries. And I know that the hydro mover is a very lightweight vessel. Correct me if I'm wrong. And it carries about 25 tons of cargo. Yes? So then my question to you is, how did you address concerns with stability, weight distribution for optimal performance and also for safety standards?
That would be a question.
Oh, back
he
to
left
you.
It to
sorry.
Us. that's more on the design side. But what we did is, because this vessel does not have any ballast,
mm-hmm.
So normally you have ballast to go and correct the trim,
yes.
And the heel. So firstly, two ports need to be loaded. It needs to be loaded in port and starboard. So each side needs to have one to balance that out.
Okay.
It cannot be that you can have go on the vessel and have one port alone.
Right.
You need to have two. And the other thing is, of course, we had to take care of this during the design stage,
mm-hmm.
where the center of gravity of the vessel is going to be, so that it does not affect the performance.
Okay.
So being a small vessel, it was challenging, but I think the end results show that it's very well working.
Right, okay. Now, Mr. Yeo, I think you provide a lot of guidance with SeaTech Solutions, and he did mention that you have a lot of experience, especially in the whole aluminium vessels. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. But in this case, were there any point of time where SeaTech Solutions maybe came up with a certain idea and you shut them down and said, hey, this is not going to work? I'm guessing there might have been from Mr. Prabhjot's reaction.
I would say not shut us down completely.
but
what I think, when you're doing small vessels,
mm-hmm.
and this is considered a very small vessel,
okay.
you can't bring in the big vessel concepts into these small vessels.
Right.
So one thought where I can think of, YD might refrain from saying it, but I think we should say it. I think one of the thing was the anchor. and the anchor and the windlass that went into it. And I mean, through this, we came up with, in for future, some things that we can even do without. But you know, sometimes it's also a constraint for us because we are just the designer, they are the builder, there's still a client to answer to, you know. The client says, I want this.
Right.
So, and you know, we can say, or the yard can say, but other boats don't have this.
Right.
So it's a matter of convincing also the client that you don't need such items on board,
right,
which you can do away with, and it's not required by class. And I mean, one more thing about the boat, to be honest, is most of the harbour crafts, mm-hmm, of this size or this purpose are not even built to class. Here, we designed, which are built, designed and built to class standards. And that means you need to adhere to the regulations,
right,
and the rules that are in place.
Yes.
So we did not skim down on scantlings or safety aspect.
Right.
It was all meeting all the regulatory requirements.
Okay.
And that's why I say, I mean, these boats are different from any other boats or that you see in the waters in Singapore.
I can imagine. Okay, I actually have a question here about the regulatory standards part. Okay, so I can understand that the vessel had to undergo, like you said, extensive risk assessment, right? Especially relating to the battery operation and swapping. Were there any obstacles when going through this process or any changes that had to be made at the very last minute to meet such standards?
For the hydro mover, like what Prajot has said, you know, we aspire to build a design and build a vessel that is as safe as possible, safe to operate. When it comes to something as novel as an electric vessel, there are a lot of standards that are not necessarily there.
Okay.
Or some of the standards may not be as established as conventional vessels are. So there are a lot of things that, you know, we have to be in discussion with the flag, which is in this case MPA, and also with our class, which in this case is RENA. There are a lot of things that we need to discuss with them, and we need to work out, you know, practical, cost-effective solutions, you know, when we are constructing the vessel. And this has not always been the easiest way. But yeah, we are very glad that we have reached our understanding to be able to meet class guidelines and also flag requirements. And yeah, we are very proud that we are putting, I would say, the safest electric harbour craft out there in the water in Singapore today. We definitely don't want to do any less. We don't want to compromise safety. In terms of, let's say, the battery approvals, and like what Prajo has said, the house strength, you know, in terms of his house scantlings, we are very proud and we are very confident of saying that this is the safest electric vessel that is in the water with all the required safety features that, you know, I would say the owners, the charterers, you know, will require for a vessel like this.
Okay, great. I actually had a question about safety standards, but I think you already clarified that very
let
well.
Let me step in there. You see, this is not something which is well established. Like, electric vessels are not very well established. So even the regulatory bodies, be it class or even flag, we're all learning. But as long as we have an open platform where we can discuss, and they are open to seeing how the design or even the equipment that goes on board needs to be certified, I think then you can have a very good cost-effective solution. So in that way, I think all the parties through this process have learned quite a bit. And I mean, the challenges were not only on the design, but even when you are lowering these battery packs or swapping these batteries. Because it's not like a car. It's not on land. It's in water. Water moves. When water moves, the vessel moves. So when these come into contact, we were studying how the impact and how to negate the impact of these batteries when it's being lowered. So just imagine a battery being lowered and the vessel is moving up and down. Now, how do you manage this? So we did come up with a solution with guides and with dampers, which together with all parties, I would say, So it was very interesting, yeah.
That sounds very interesting, yes. Now, the both of you already started to talk about, you know, cost-effective solutions, right? So let's go into a question about cost, right? Now, other than the support from your financing partners, were there any other specific incentives or grants by the government for this project?
Well, I mean, incentives. I mean, this the whole call for grant to develop,
yes,
and build a prototype electric vessel,
okay,
was by MPA and SMI. It was a combined grant call. In terms of incentives by others, I don't think incentives. Maybe from the port, in terms of port fees or port dues, because it's an environmentally friendly vessel.
Right. I ask this because, you know, there are carbon taxes, right?
Carbon taxes are essential
to
move the needle.
Then the other way around is my question. So say you come up with something like this that's very environmentally friendly. Are there incentives for that, say carbon credits, or do you think it's necessary for so that other companies might actually come on board and maybe come up with more sustainable solutions?
Well, I mean, for us, I mean, we are in the design phase. I wish there was something, some carbon credits that I could earn with these designs, but no. But I think we are the catalyst, or we provide the ideas and concepts,
yes,
for the sustainable future, I would say, yes, the greener sustainable future. Now, carbon credits need to come into play, definitely, if you want the shift to happen faster. And I mean, otherwise, there's no incentive for anyone to choose an electric craft.
Definitely.
So an electric craft costs more, obviously. This is beyond doubt definite. Now, if you have an electric craft in the water and you have a conventional one, now what's the incentive for two people? One, the consumer, to take the electric craft and,
yeah,
probably have to pay more, because, right, the second person, who's the owner, needs to get his ROIs as well, right?
That's right.
So the playing field has to be levelized in a certain way. Now,
yeah,
this can either be through incentives, but incentives are not a sustainable way for the future.
True.
But so I think things like carbon credits, where it makes it a level playing field, then you'll see a lot more faster adoption of greener solutions or greener harbour crafts.
So actually, Litar Ocean is not just a builder. We are, mm-hmm, also an operator of harbour craft vessels in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that currently there are no incentives offered by the government to operate electric crafts per se, but you know, the government is making it a bit more expensive for you to operate diesel vessels as the years go by. So it comes in the form of diesel taxes.
Yeah.
So you know, this is indirectly an incentive to go electric, so to reduce your costs on fuel. But from an owner's perspective, I think the main challenge, technical challenges aside, from a commercial point of view, is the high capex, mm-hmm, cost of starting with an electric boat. These vessels would be, I would say, in the region of 2 to 3 times more expensive than a commercial conventional craft. And so, what is important right now is for owners who are really willing to change to an electric-driven vessel is financing.
Yeah.
And that is where we see the government or MPA, you know, putting the resources together in assisting vessel owners to make the change. And we
That's
think,
right,
yeah, there are going to be some, I would say, proposals that are going to come in that area.
That's great news, great news. Hopefully this is a stepping stone to that, moving towards that direction. All right, now thanks to the invaluable contributions of Mr. Prabjot and Mr. Yeo, we've embarked on a fascinating journey into the creation of the Hydro Mover. But fret not, dear listeners, for our exploration is far from over. With plenty more insights to uncover, I'm keeping you on the edge of your seats, eagerly anticipating episode 4, where we'll dive deeper into this captivating conversation and bring our Hydro Mover from Concepts to Currents series to a thrilling conclusion. Don't forget to follow MediaComms on LinkedIn, and most importantly, follow us on this Spotify and Apple podcast platforms for more upcoming episodes. Signing off until next Thursday, this is your host, Ruth Shannon, for the Petrobin Podcast.